a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Paulie G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hour two on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Things we've discussed to this point. One, I'm not thrilled with the Houston Texans' plan to upgrade their offensive line to this point. Two, I don't know what the Astros' plan is for the outfield. Jose Altuve certainly needs a lot more work. And Cam Smith, who played a little bit of right field yesterday, isn't playing right field nearly enough for me to believe he's going to be on the opening day roster. We had a couple of people asking about some of the other positions that are up for grabs going into the year, second base. I got a weird amount of Brendan Rodgers questions, like on the text line and on the Twitch. Look, he's a Gold Glover. He's a player that believes that now that he's no longer playing in elevation, that he's playing at sea level, he could be in for his best year ever. And also the Rockies apparently have the worst analytics department that there is. But ultimately, like, the biggest strength he's going to bring to the table is his glove. He was a Gold Glover in 2023. I'm not expecting much. I'm not. I don't expect the Astros to turn hitters into studs the same way that they seemingly can find any pitcher out and about and turn that guy into the best possible version of himself.
Yeah, that's just something they haven't really proven that they can do
yet.
In the same way that they can do with pitchers. If he makes the team and he's a part of this, you know, part of the rotation there at second base, because I imagine they're going to try different guys there. I imagine Dubon is going to play there a bit. I imagine Rodgers will also get time there. You're looking at a infield version of what, Jake Marisnyk, to bring back a old fave, where, hey, great defense, love the defense out there.
I don't think Brendan Rodgers has Jake Marisnyk's hair.
No, he doesn't. I don't think the fan base will love him like they love Jake Marisnyk.
Actually,
do I not know what Brendan Rodgers would look
damn,
like?
Damn, Brendan, definitely you don't. Know what? It's not quite as rocker. And it's a little more mullet.
Okay.
But Brendan Rodgers has got a good head of hair.
Okay.
Rodgers has as much hair as you, Sean. It's a little more mullety than it is. And a very fierce beard. You know what? He's got big eyebrows, too.
All right.
Honestly, his look is the look I want right now. This is the look I currently want. If my beard was no longer gray and my hair still grew at the rate it used to, I would love to try this look out.
It's very funny. There's a soccer manager by the same name. So half the pictures that I looked up were of Brendan Rodgers, the Astro. Half of them is some old English man standing with his arms folded. But yeah, okay. I don't know why. In my head, he had shorter hair. I just
So, it could be Jake Marisnyk 2.0. I think that's a good comparison, Sean.
We got infield Marisnyk.
Infielder Marisnyk. Let's go. A little more of a macho version of Marisnyk.
Yeah.
Nothing against Marisnyk. Marisnyk's more of a pretty boy. This guy's a little bit more of a rugged. This is a guy who
this is Yellowstone.
Yellowstone
Marisnyk.
Yellowstone Marisnyk at second base. Laremy Tunsil would not have survived on Yellowstone. Entirely based off of his wardrobe. He's a big guy, for sure. But I don't think he would have survived on Yellowstone. Or 1923. Or 1883. But Laremy Tunsil, who we talked about yesterday because we had yet to see him post something saying goodbye, said farewell to Houston. He posted a picture of himself coming out of the tunnel at NRG Stadium in a beanie, which is weird because he's wearing a home jersey and they were indoors, saying this: "I didn't know what to expect, Houston, but from the moment I arrived, this city embraced me and my family with open arms. Houston became more than just a place I played football. It became home. over the years, I've grown not just as a player, but as a man. And this city will always hold a special place in my heart. Being part of this community has been an honor. From working with the Urban Enrichment Institute to supporting the Gracewood Foundation for Single Mothers, Second Servings Houston, etc., I've had the privilege of witnessing firsthand the strength, resilience, and generosity that make this city so special. Thank you for allowing me to contribute to something greater than the game and for giving me the opportunity to give back to the place that has given me so much. Houston, you welcomed me as one of your own, and for that, I will always be grateful. With love, Laramie Tunsil. The initials LT posted at the end. He's now a Washington Commander, of course, after earlier this week the Texans traded him to Washington for a third and a seventh round pick in this year's draft and a second and fourth round pick in next year's draft. It's a nice note, right? Much like Alex Bregman when he said goodbye. That was a nice note. Here's the problem. And I don't know if this is more on us as a society than it is on Laramie Tunsil here, but immediately, and possibly because people are mad that he's gone and are mad about how bad the offensive line was last year, immediately people checked online to see if artificial intelligence / GPT created this. There's, I guess, a website that you can go on that checks to see if you write something, how much of it's AI or GPT. I am assuming that this is something that was started by colleges and universities to combat plagiarism. Per whatever website was used here, Laramie Tunsil's goodbye note was 76.43% artificial intelligence and or GPT. I'm going to start off by saying this. I'm actually going to defend Tunsil here. It's kind of messed up that we're just assuming that that's the case. It is messed up that we're assuming that. Does he have to do a handwritten note?
Hold up a newspaper as he's writing it.
He got traded, and people were deservedly annoyed with him last year because of all the penalties. But, you know, whether right or wrong, if people are coming after you all year long in a year where you have a lot of penalties and C.J. Stroud's getting sacked all the time, like, you don't necessarily owe it to the place you're leaving to write them a 100% heartfelt, thought-out note. But it bums me out because people did this with Bregman, too. Do we have to determine whether or not this was real? Do we have to go down that rabbit hole? I think it's kind of messed up.
It's also like 76%. Like all of these thank you Houston, thank you inner city here messages, they all basically hit the same notes. There's not a lot of different ways to write this. So I wonder how much of like, yeah, well, yeah, AI could probably write a pretty good one because all these things are the same because, let's be honest, and this isn't just a Tunsil thing. This isn't a Bregman thing. This is all of these. How many of these guys do you think are sitting down and actually writing these notes?
Zero.
They all have PR people. So, they all have agents.
So it could be the agent or the PR person doing this. And that is where I would direct my ire at those people. Like, you got to do better than that. You're the one that Laramie Tunsil is paying to write this heartfelt goodbye. Because not everyone's a good writer. Not everyone's a good writer. So I'm actually defending Laramie Tunsil here. I don't like that our first reaction is to determine whether or not Alex Bregman or Laramie Tunsil's goodbye note that we were annoyed that we didn't get in quick enough time is ChatGPT or AI generated. I guess with Bregman it was like 90-something percent.
That's the thing. If it's like above 90, then that's where 75, it is like at a certain point, it's like how many different ways is there to actually write this?
But both of these guys got traded. There's got to be an element of sour feelings here. So, like,
Bregman Tucker got traded.
My bad. You're right. You're right. With Bregman, you're right. Tucker was the one who was traded. With Bregman, it felt like, honestly, because there's much time about
and there's
him
a flirtation that he could come back.
But you're right, Sean. Sorry. So I screwed that one up. But I get why there would be some jilted feelings. And while I'm a big believer in handwritten notes and sending thank you messages out, and I think that if you were to put together a thank you note to the city of Houston, you would want to be
more specific highlighting how welcoming this place is? Because it is. Like, you guys even welcomed me. Yeah, me, Masshole Paul. To the point where I now believe this is my home, and that while living in Seattle for a couple of years, I missed it every second I was away. And I was like, I'm moving back here if things don't work out as soon as I could. And I did. It's a very welcoming place, the best food in the country, with incredible generosity, a city that I think, unlike a lot of cities, and I don't know how LA is handling all their crap right now. We do wish them well. I feel like when bleep hits the fan, this city does come together on a level that a lot of others don't. I think what we saw from people in the wake of all the destruction from Hurricane Harvey was really cool. I remember they weren't even letting people into the George R. R. Brown Center because there were so many people that were volunteering to help people who had been displaced. And, Hurricane Katrina, how many people came here from New Orleans and Louisiana when things hit the fan there? And now you might have never gone back. You might have just stayed living here. Like, that's the best part about it. So now, the more that I think about it, Laramie, you should have hired me. You should have hired me. I would have done it for you.
That right there. I mean, you just change Massachusetts and Seattle to Oxford, Mississippi, and Miami.
Yeah.
Boom, right there.
Yeah. Someone else could do those parts.
0% ChatGPT. Although, boom. I'm sure if you typed it in, that would have been like 25.
See, this is what I wonder about. Like, I'm wondering about this thing online.
It's like when did you have to do this when you turn in essays in like high school and college where it was like a plagiarism checker website?
No.
Okay.
No, so we didn't have that yet.
I had those.
2011 is the last time I was in school.
Basically, if you included like quotes from the book that it was about, you would get like 20% plagiarism.
Right. Yeah,
but it's
like sense.
Literally I'm just quoting the
– yeah.
And so these aren't like perfect numbers is what I'm saying. I don't think that – also, why would you only use ChatGPT to only write 75% of this
thing? That's a good point. Yeah, use it to write the 100%. If you're going to use it all the way. But I don't think this is on Tunzel. From the Twitch, this is a funny Twitch comment. Kugblaze says, dude's always looking for a shortcut. Well, that's true. The fall starts in illegal formations. This is a shortcut. As a shortcut.
Just trying to get that extra edge.
That extra edge. Sean Mapes behind the glass and Paul Gallant. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. I'm confused by moves that the Texans and Astros are doing. If you've been listening to the show to this point, you've heard why. This move by the Rockets, it still is intriguing. Are they actually going to pull the trigger and trade for a Devin Booker or a Kevin Durant? You'll hear about what they actually have been doing with those two over the last couple of weeks next. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
It is indeed the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to chime in, you can at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text. From the last segment, we were determining whether or not Laramie Tunsil's not handwritten note to Houston was AI generated. Somebody
maybe hand typed.
Definitely hand typed by somebody, potentially, Sean. But it was written in an Instagram photo on the top of it. And people threw an app that actually measures how much AI GPT could be in this believes it was 76.43% AI generated. Some texters in the last segment when I gave my own from the heart speech about Houston say I was to leave again. I don't believe you, Paul. This sounds AI generated. Well, how would you know? I feel like I'm too weird to be artificial intelligence. I don't think artificial intelligence has the bandwidth, entirely powered by caffeine, to go all over the place like me.
Yeah.
Robots will never replace me. They'll replace, you know, like Jeremy Branham. Oh, he's cooked. But they will replace me. They will never replace. They will replace me. See? Yeah. AI wouldn't screw up like that.
No.
No.
Distinctly human. Paul Gallant.
Very human. Another text. You should write a goodbye note to Seattle and then see what percentage it comes up as artificial intelligence. Good point. Would be a little bit late, but it wouldn't be that late for me because for those who don't know, I'm famous for sending out Happy New Year's cards late in the year. And guess what I still haven't done this year? Those.
I was thinking about that.
They're stacked on the table.
I thought about that.
I owe you one. I owe Joe one.
Yeah. When I checked my mail, this was a while ago when we were talking about it. I was like, did Paul, like, does he have my right address or
no,
what's happening?
No, I have 78 to go.
Got it.
And that's what sucks. It's like there's so many and I don't want to do it because I think about the how many. I have almost paid my taxes, though, which I didn't do until October last year.
Congrats.
Master procrastinator. So it wouldn't be that late to write a goodbye to Seattle. Another texter. This is from just a teacher. Speaking of the ChatGPT thing, I teach high school. Congratulations to you on your spring break. All the kids write essays with that, but I'm always trying to convince them to at least go through it and change some of the words so it sounds more like them. Using AI has to be less detectable by teachers, so I would assume that Tunsil had ChatGPT write this thing and he edited it just a little bit. True, or his publicist slash agent did it. I think that's probably where we're at.
Yeah, that's probably the likely thing. Also, you're a teacher who's like, listen, you can use AI, just change some of the words, please.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very fun teacher to have. I guess you're listening to this show, so you probably are.
I would assume on spring break.
You're the cool teacher.
Well, something I've been jealous of with the people on the rodeo committee this week, like a bunch of teachers are on spring break, and they're just like handing out shots. I'm like, F off, man. I got to pick up work tomorrow. That's why I took off the last 2 days. I was like, you people are animals. I love you, but you're animals. I need a little bit of liver recovery time. And also, I got to figure out what's going on with my Forrest Whitaker situation on my eye, which just keeps on swelling up. So you got to put like a heated pad on it. It's like a Chalazion or something like that. Maybe it's a sty. I don't know. Not fun. Not fun. Pink Eye Paul here. Pink Eye Paul here for putting heat on your eye to get rid of the swelling that makes you look like Forrest Whitaker. It is an Ask Along Anything Friday. And yeah, we were going to get into the Rockets. We'll probably push that back a little bit. How's your sex life, Paulie? Oh, non-existent. Non-existent.
Did you hear about the pink eye?
I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
Did you hear about he might have an eye situation happening?
Here's what's starting to get a little concerning. I'm starting to get a little concerned with this.
The eye?
No.
Or
no, 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 no. Because I remember, give or take, the last time. And mid-October. So we are getting close to half a year. Not good. Not good. Been working on myself, right? And that's what people say. Hey, work on yourself. And then you get back out there. Guess what doesn't work? That doesn't work. You have to keep on shooting, from what I understand. But I think some of my shots have not gone so well. Because I was supposed to have, you know, a canceled date that was on Wednesday, on Thursday. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? Ghosted. Called her out. She did respond to that. And says, oh, well, maybe we'll see each other at the rodeo tonight. Yeah, good luck, toots. Good luck. You're out. You're out. We got to have some self-respect at some point, you know? Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. This is funny. Giovanni Rodriguez asks on YouTube, Paul, who do you think has a sexier build, Joel Blank or Lance Erlein? Joel's in better shape. That's the answer. He is. What? What do you want me to say? Joel's in better shape.
No, I was just thinking about it.
Joel's in a little bit better shape. So, Joel's got the sexier build. And I feel very comfortable saying that about another man. I know Joel's going to give me crap about that, but you know what? It'll be nice for Joel to give me crap about this instead of bitching and moaning about our coffee machine like he always does whenever he comes in. Joel loves to talk about our coffee machine.
I will say the new one, having heard about some of his issues with it, I get where he's coming from.
I get it, but like it's coffee talk with Joel Blake.
That'd be great.
Hello, it's me, Joel Blank, on the Coffee Talk with Joel Blank show. And guess what? Today, the coffee machine didn't work again! Again! You know? And that's the end of the show.
Maybe a side podcast for him?
Yeah, I think so. That would be funny. It's just like 5 minutes with Joel. Just tell us, just rant about the coffee. He's passionate about that coffee machine.
Blank on beans.
He gets very mad when he makes a fresh cup and I take some because I don't do it myself. And listen, I'm running a one-man show here. It's hard. It's a hard life. So there you go. Ask Lon Anything Friday. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. 75 Court Jester says Joel has a better frown than Lance Zierlein. Yeah, although, I don't know. Like, Lance Zierlein meltdowns are fun. When Lance throws something in studio, I'm like, that guy's a little, he's a little bit of me. He's got a little bit of me inside him. Because it's generally like something's going on with one of his boys. Like, they've done something done. And he gets super mad. It's so funny to watch it.
The last one was the last one is all time incident that he's had.
Oh, it was all time. All right, we got the 10-minute drill up next. The Dallas Cowboys, some drama going on with them. Some Rockets talk on the horizon as well. And listen, big game for the Cougs, all Cougs tonight / today. I guess it's in a couple of hours. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. In the last 24 hours, the Texans acquired another offensive lineman. And I don't think it's going to help them get any better. They traded with the Minnesota Vikings yesterday, sending Minnesota a sixth-round pick for a guard that was one of the worst in the NFL last year when it comes to blocking guys one-on-one, Ed Ingram. In fact, he was the worst. He was the worst one-on-one guard blocker in the NFL. Kenyon Green, who the Texans traded, was third. Lakin Tomlinson, who the Texans signed this week, fourth. So I don't love this Texans' plan to fix their offensive line, which also lost Laremy Tunsil. Love him or hate him, they will be very, 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 very hard-pressed to replace a guy of that talent, even if he didn't have the kind of leadership that you would have liked to see this offensive line group, which sucked and seemed to be a little bit weirded out by the criticism they received with a toxic, supposedly offensive line room on top of all of it. I don't think this is exactly the way.
No, I hope these are the depth pieces and they will get the starters or the high-level talent, whether it's in the draft or some guys still available. I mean, the thing with the Texans offensive line is not a high bar to be an improvement for the guys already on the roster and the guys that these guys are replacing. So there's still plenty out there, or not plenty. There's still a couple guys out there that would be immediate starters and immediate...
Mekhi Becton was one we talked about.
Yeah, improvements for the Texans. I don't know how interested they are in Becton. I feel like if they were, I would have gotten that done before trading for Ed Ingram. But there's still... I don't want to come down on them. You know, we talked about the grader, was it Frank Schwab, his offseason grades. I think doing it March 14th is a little hasty.
I agree.
On the grades, I feel like everyone should basically be an incomplete.
But to this point, it is a D.
Yes, to this point, I'm the only good move. Or
CJ Gardner-Johnson, yeah, for Kenyon Green was a great move.
Other than the re-signings.
You've like, signed
the re-signings are good. But the new guys that they brought in, the Gardner trade.
Yeah, the Christian Kirk trade, I suppose, if you really want to push it up a little bit more, maybe it's a C-, but...
D-plus.
Like, they restructured his deal, by the way. They saved $12 million in cap space. They've signed a bunch of defensive ends. They signed a bunch of expensive special teamers. So, F is probably too far, but the offensive line, which is, like, priority 1, 2, 3, and I guess 4 now that you've moved on from Laremy Tunsil, because you don't really know who should be starting at left tackle, left guard, center, or right guard. Blake Fisher, you drafted in the second round last year, is your right tackle. Titus Howard, I know, is going to play left tackle. It's not a great plan to this point. Continuing to go around the National Football League, Myles Garrett, Aggies legend, did an introductory press conference with the Cleveland Browns to discuss his extension. funny that it's an introduction. It seemed like he was gone after requesting that trade.
Did he hold up a jersey at the end? Like,
it would be very funny.
We already
if
know.
He did.
We already know, dude.
We know you're still here. Garrett doesn't request, doesn't regret requesting out per Pro Football Talk. Quote, I think I had some frustration, and I feel like that helped us grow and have conversations that were difficult but needed to be had. And that created a little bit more discourse, helped build some relationships and reaffirm them. Blah, blah, blah. We're in a better place. We can now move on and grow from there. It's never been about money. It's always been about winning. That's where my frustration lies. Okay, I mean, you did stay for $40 million a year, and the Browns are nowhere closer to winning. They are nowhere closer to winning. And The Athletic put out a hit piece on Garrett today. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic wrote this about Garrett, who they portray as entitled and doesn't take leadership responsibility like he should. Quote, it's well known within the Browns that Myles Garrett is frequently late to the facility. He has skipped mandatory team activities on multiple occasions. Okay, why did the Browns extend him then? He asked out. He said, hey, you guys aren't trying hard. But he's not trying hard either, at least per this report. Browns are a mess is really the only way I can summarize the whole thing. This is very on brand for that organization.
Yeah, to have the this guy left town, let's air out the dirty laundry piece come out when the only problem is the guy didn't leave town. The guy actually resigned.
Yes.
And so you put it well where it's like, wait, so this guy was terrible to be around and asked out for a trade and your team isn't really close to competing, so you resigned him?
Yeah.
Like, this is... I mean, Browns stay Browns, really. Like, mm-hmm. That's all I can... That's all I got on this is that... This is why the bad teams stay bad, is doing stuff like this, where none of this really makes sense.
By the way, Jason Lloyd should definitely wear a helmet the next time he sees Myles Garrett at his locker.
Yes.
This is... I don't know what Mason Rudolph said, but this...
This is pretty bad.
This article is definitely not going to make him any closer to Myles Garrett.
And Myles Garrett, maybe it's because of the Mason Rudolph thing, but there's a lot of big guys in the NFL. There's a lot of really ripped, strong guys. Myles Garrett's one of them.
Remember that guy who punched him?
There's a guy that punched...
There's some guy who just punched Myles Garrett on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
October 16th, 2019.
I forgot about that.
Garrett
was
driving when a fan flagged him down to take a picture and gave him a pillow tap in the face. Called it a pillow tap. Yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with him.
No. Of guys that are big and strong in the NFL, Myles Garrett's last because of what you mentioned. That he will swing back. He does
in this
not...
situation, he didn't, though, because Garrett, he struck Garrett with a closed fist, got back in his car, and fled. Garrett told police he was not injured, but surprised.
Well, that's a terrifying statement. He just got sacrificed. Not hurt.
I was surprised. Surprised he did that.
I would be, too. I mean, that's... that.
Yes, if I'm Myles Garrett, I'd never think I'm ever getting punched.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people want to punch him. Still a free agent. But Saturday, tomorrow, he will be making his next public appearance. He's going to be participating in the annual RX3 Growth Partners Charity Flag Football Game. Steelers, Giants, and Vikings are the three teams interested in him. It would be kind of funny if he had another first game with the New York Jets situation happen in a flag football game.
Come on.
I'm not rooting for it to happen. And I'm just saying...
It would cost himself like so much...
It would be crazy if he gets hurt.
His career would
that.
Be over.
I would honestly advise him, as someone who is playing flag football mid-35 and like sat out of a game because of some emergency issues behind the scenes, but also like a hamstring that I thought might be in trouble given that there's a massive bruise behind it. Hey, Aaron, take it easy, man. This is asking for trouble.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I hope he's quarterback. At least, I would not have done this without having secured, what, like $40 million guaranteed?
The bag, yes.
He would have gotten a lot. I mean, Look at what these quarterbacks are going for. Now he'll probably sign a 1 or 2 year deal, but still, that's a lot of money that you're risking to throw to some growth partners or whatever this charity's for.
Puka Nacua, Rams wide receiver. He said he was going to make Devontae Adams negotiate for number 17. Well, apparently, nope. Devontae Adams is just getting number 17 now that he's joined the Rams. What the hell, Nacua, what are you doing? Get some money. You don't have that extension yet.
Get a car like the Mets guy did.
Adams better give him something. I feel like if he's just voluntarily giving it up, like Nacua's on a fifth-round rookie contract.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, that guy's not getting paid at all. You know, he actually deserves some money here.
Yeah.
By the way, Adams, in his introductory press conference with the Rams, said that the Rams were aggressive, but in all the right ways. Whoa, that sounds
okay.
Sounds a little sexual.
But
it was wanted though. He appreciated their aggressiveness.
They're aggressive, but they didn't cross any line
in all the right ways. Which reminds me of something that Browns pass rusher Baron Browning said ahead of free agency. Before returning to the last year, what were the Cardinals last year? Well, it wasn't a great season. It was a better season.
8-9.
Here is
8-9.
Here is Baron Browning before free agency and before returning to the Cardinals.
I mean, if you got a girlfriend who's a 10, why play around?
That's a good point. But I guess he thinks the Cardinals are a 10. That's why he came back.
Yeah, and the record was literally below 500. So yeah. I'm not sure.
More a six.
Oh, I was going to say, I'll be nice and call him a five.
Ooh.
I mean, they literally take records for these things.
That's
and
true.
They won more, or they lost more than they won.
That is also true.
That puts you below average.
One last little tidbit. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 on a Ask Gallant Anything Friday. The New Orleans Saints, who apparently have money, are making a push to sign Cooper Kupp. This is like just asking the IRS to come to your house. Like the Saints are, what, 70, 80, 90, 100 million over the cap? How are they making this happen? Louisiana, can you guys please clean it up? We love you. You're fun. It's the sportsman's paradise. But you are so bad with money. This is not what you should do.
Also, just like take it, even the financial aspects out of it. Whatever. Why are they signing a 32-year-old receiver
to
play with Derek Carr?
If Derek Carr's even there,
Spencer Rattler, or maybe they draft a guy.
I don't know, man. This is a weird one. He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We've got some fun questions on the board that we will get to. Up next, how close were the Rockets to acquiring 1, Kevin Durant, and 2, Devin Booker? You'll find out on the other side. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Got something to say to Paul?
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. He's negative about this person, negative about that person. Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in or text in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. The NBA trade deadline came and went without the Houston Rockets making a major move, but people are focusing on possibilities that have presented themselves thanks to the absolute disaster, at least relative to expectations, that the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal have been. We've heard that the Rockets potentially are interested in both Durant and Booker. And yesterday, in a report by ESPN basketball writer Tim McMahon, we learned the Rockets have expressed interest in Devin Booker,
but that the Suns shut them down. And it's the Suns owner that's shutting them down. The same Suns owner, Matt Ishbia, who does not want the Suns to go into a rebuild phase. Well, I think it's going to happen. But Ishbia, on a Booker trade, quote, never happened. It's silly, end quote. So Devin Booker, it seems far-fetched, but I did find it interesting that someone who covers the Suns this week brought up that three first-round picks and a player with a lot of upside could potentially be a package that the Suns would consider entertaining when it comes to a Devin Booker trade. We discussed this earlier in the week. I don't think that Devin Booker is three first-round picks better than Jalen Green, three Suns first-round picks better, especially than Jalen Green with the direction they seem to be going in and how checked out they all seemed when we watched that Rockets-Suns game earlier this week. But they have, at least the Rockets, reached out about Devin Booker. And when it comes to Kevin Durant's future, everyone thinks that Durant will be traded this offseason. They discussed a Durant trade at the deadline along with three other teams. Those three other teams are the Warriors, T-Wolves, and Heat. Heard about them a lot. Didn't really hear anything about the Rockets on that front. But the Rockets, they did have trade discussions about Kevin Durant. Here's the difference, though. With Devin Booker. Devin Booker, they called about. Rocket sources told Tim McMahon, though, that Kevin Durant to the Rockets talks were initiated by the Phoenix Suns. So, does that mean the Rockets wouldn't be interested in Kevin Durant? I don't think so, just given Ime Udoka's history with him and the fact that a lot of Rockets players work with him, and I think he likes a lot of the guys who were on the Rockets. He's complimented them before. Doesn't rule it out, but I think it's noteworthy that the Suns were reaching out about a Kevin Durant to Houston trade. The Rockets were not doing the other way around.
Yeah, at the deadline, we knew that the Suns had initiated the talks with the Warriors, and Durant eventually said, no, I don't want to go back to Golden State. And Golden State was like, we don't want upset Kevin Durant on our team, so we're not going to make this trade. I think it's possible that, or I guess reading between the lines, this is how I read between the lines with this Tim McMahon piece. At the trade deadline, Suns shopping Durant around. They ask these four teams, including the Rockets. The Rockets pick up the phone, they get asked about Kevin Durant, and they go, not sure about Kevin Durant. What about Devin Booker? And that's where the owner goes, this is stupid, or whatever he said. It was like, not happening. And then maybe they had additional discussions about Durant, but it seemed, how I would take that is that the Rockets, when they're presented with Durant, asked about Booker.
That sounds right.
Which is how they should be approaching, is
totally agree.
The guy who's 28 as opposed to 36, 37. So, yeah, we can talk about, you know, the price and what they should or shouldn't do eventually down the road. Do you think that Kevin Durant, or that this team is a Kevin Durant away? Do you think this team is a Devin Booker away? Being a Devin Booker away gives you a longer runway to eventually get to that point.
But you have to give up more to get that Devin Booker.
Exactly. You're going to have to give up more to get him, where Durant is going to be a little bit more short-term of a piece as well, because his contract expires at the end of next season, which also means that Kevin Durant will probably have a hand in picking where he wants to go.
He will.
So that,
and I think this is probably tops. I don't think Durant would want to play somewhere more than he would here. And the way I would sell it to him is, look, dude, you've never won it on your own before. This would be viewed as you winning it on your own. Say you are the finishing piece. I don't know if he is. I just think that if he comes here, people would look at that as a, wow, he went to Texas, he comes back to Texas. Durant, unfortunately, despite being clearly one of the two best players in the NBA for the, you know, over the last decade, it's him and LeBron. And there have been moments where Durant was better than LeBron. But unfortunately, everyone's like, oh yeah, well, he took the
Coward's way out and joined the Warriors after they beat him in a 7-game series with the Thunder.
Yeah.
This is a storybook ending.
That is definitely a way that Kevin Durant could see things, because, I mean, I don't. Kevin Durant, famously, kind of hard guy to read. He'll tell you what he's thinking.
He's honest, but
if you don't know what he's thinking, it's hard to guess. With the thinking that he didn't want to go back to Golden State, that would be consistent with your line of reasoning, where if he wants to do it on his own, he doesn't want to go back to the only place he ever won the title. If those same issues are keeping him from going back there this year, then maybe he is looking for something new. He's looking for something on the other end of the spectrum, which would be coming to a Rockets team who, you know, this April will be the first time most of the roster plays in a playoff game.
Yeah.
So he will be the leader. He'll be viewed as like the, you know, alpha of a team if he's on the Rockets. The question is that what Kevin Durant wants? Is that what Kevin Durant wants the most? Does he think he can get that same kind of juice from going to these other teams on this list? Minnesota, would it be viewed as him and Ant?
Or yes.
So you just got to have to put yourself in Kevin Durant's mind, which is a hard thing to do.
Miami, I guess, is a theoretical, like, but are they close to winning? No, I think that the East is now what the West was. The East is, I think,
it's just so top heavy. That's the problem. To be better than the Celtics or Cavs, it's like you got to be a really good team. I mean, the Knicks are a good team, and they have no chance when they get on the same court as those guys. So the Miami Heat, they would have to keep Bam and Hero for it to even, you know, for you to be able to talk me into it. They can't trade Adebayo or Hero to get Durant. So now what are the Heat sending out to the Suns, like, that they would even be interested in? So
yeah,
it gets tough.
You know, now that you bring it up, Knicks would be. I mean, it would be so funny if this is when the Knicks get Durant too, though, like at almost 40.
And they trade Bridges back to Phoenix.
That also would be pretty funny. It would be amusing if Durant ended up there. Honestly, if whoever wins with the Knicks, God forever, it ever happened. That's why they're so desperate. They're like, Jalen Brunson's one of the top three players in the NBA. Like, shut up.
Yeah, these guys are legends forever. Like, Josh Hart's a legend forever, and they've lost in the second round the last 2 years.
Yeah, like, they're like the one fan base that loved Carmelo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're like, we felt fulfilled by the Carmelo Anthony experience. What? Okay.
It is bizarre. I don't know if that's James Dolan or what. From the 936, as we continue to talk about the Rockets, can you break down why Devin Booker would be more valuable on the Rockets than Jalen? I think he's a better player, but not sure he'd be a better fit on this team than Jalen. Honestly, I don't know. I think it's legitimately Booker's a more consistent player. Green has more upside. What do you want? We touched on this yesterday.
Yeah, more consistent by far, and proven in the playoffs.
Yes.
Was the best player on a finals team.
Yep.
In 2021. He also has a little bit more, and this helps if you want to get out of the dependent on Fred VanVleet experience. He can do a little bit more of the ball handling, safe decision making than Jalen Green. I mean, the Magic game, the Magic game's kind of a bad example because they were out basically all their point guards except for Aaron Holiday. But when Fred VanVleet sits, they're basically guaranteed to turn the ball over 15 times, and a lot of times close to 20 times in a game, just whenever Fred VanVleet's out. Devin Booker puts a little bit more of a safety net on that, along with the scoring that he can do. So put him on a team with a bunch of fast athletes too, like the Rockets have. He would be good. It is fair to bring up, like, so you're going to be paying this guy probably in the $40 to $50 million range, give all the Suns picks back, give up Jalen Green, who's making 30. Do you actually come out on top? I think what it'll come down to is Tillman Fertitta's stomach to continue being patient. And a lot of that will depend on how the Rockets look in the playoffs. How, when they lose in the playoffs, because I don't think they're going to win the title, and if they win the title, they're not training for Kevin or for anybody. How they go out? Do they go out with a team that's just like, you know, they have dudes that are on a different level. Our guys aren't ready. Let's hit the gas on this. Or do they go out nobly, where you believe, like the Thunder back in, I think it was 2010 when they lost to the eventual champion Lakers, where you're like, they lost, but these guys are way better than they have any business being.
Right. And so we will see on that front. And depending on that, that's going to determine how patient or impatient Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Rockets, is. We don't have time to play the clip, but Tim McMahon did an interview with, or not an interview, Tim McMahon was on the Hoops Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst. And he said that of all people, the guy who was preaching patience was Tillman's son, Patrick Fertitta, as far as really rushing things to get back to where they used to be, which is surprising because he, I guess, was the one, Patrick, pressing the pause button when it comes to bringing James Harden back. And I would have assumed that Patrick would be the one pushing for that to happen. That actually makes me feel a little bit better about Patrick Fertitta, especially with Tillman about to go off to Italy to be the ambassador to Italy, which is such a funny story. Sean Mapes behind the glass on Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show in ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We do have some good questions for the final hour of the show. Up next, what plan do you trust more? Is it the Houston Texans' plan to fix their offensive line, or is it the Astros' plan to get any production offensively at all, even if it comes with no defense, out of their outfield? Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.